and welcome to Pop a la Carte number 18. This week, you're going to hear a little bit of a rant about accents. That's from me, because I have something to say. We're going to talk about some Supergirl and The Good Place and, you know, anything else on TV that we think of that we want to talk about. And Gunpowder, which just started in the UK, which I watched the first episode and it's awesome. And then we're going to just do some fun Halloween stuff since it is almost Halloween and we should all be thinking of spooky things, right? I'm Valerie.
I'm Tatiana.
And I'm Angela.
Okay, so first we're starting with my rant. And this is related to a story, so you can look on withanaccent.com that Angela did a while ago, years ago now, right? That was like accents and why they're all British. And it was talking about why every European accent you'll ever hear in television is British, basically. But, so last week, I was trying to just watch something on Netflix. And so I had seen that there was a Canal Plus, or however you're supposed to say it. That's from the French one, and sorry if I'm butchering it, French people. But anyway, it's the French channel that makes Versailles and The Returned and things like that. And they have a show called Borgia, not to be confused with the Showtime The Borgias. This is just Borgia.
The one Borgia.
Yeah, the one Borgia, the singular, even though it is about all of them. Anyway, and it's on Netflix. So I'd seen it before and I wanted to watch it. And I tried to watch it and I swear to God, I got like 15 minutes in and I was just like, I cannot take it. Because instead of doing what most people do, which Canal Plus has done before, because they do it with Versailles, where almost everybody is English or at least British. This one had, so the guy who becomes the Pope is an American from Philly, and he's using that accent. His kids are all using English accents, I think. And then his, like, mistress, concubine, whatever she was, who is the father or the mother of his children, is Spanish, which they're all supposed to be Spanish and having moved to Rome, you know, because they're, like, even, I think they call them Spanish dogs, you know, things like that. And I swear to God, it was just, it drove me insane because I was like, no, you're all supposed to have the same accent. Pick one. I literally watched 15 minutes and I was like, I cannot do this. It's driving me nuts. So then I went to watch Medici Masters of Venice, which is the Netflix production with Richard Madden in it.
Oh.
About the vet. He plays Cosimo de' Medici.
Oh, hello.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Except for the part where Dustin Hoffman is playing his dad and he's just doing a Dustin Hoffman, like, he's what Dustin Hoffman sounds like. And yeah, it was like, really, so now all your kids, you're an Italian, but all your kids sound British. And I'm just, that didn't bother me as much because, and this is, I don't think a spoiler, because it's how the story starts, is literally his character is dead because the story is about Cosimo. Mm-hmm. But they do have flashbacks where they go back when he was alive, because the first season does deal with how he died. Mm-hmm. And then they do show how Cosimo became who he is. But it just drove me insane because it was like, is this what we're doing now? Are we just going to have everybody have different accents even though they're all supposed to be from the same place? Like, Angela, what do you think? I don't know. It's like, should I just get used to this?
You don't have to get used to it. You like the show enough otherwise.
Obviously, Borgia, I didn't because I couldn't get past it. Mm-hmm. It just was so frustrating because I think it was when we finally got to the mistress / the mother and she was Spanish that I was like, I just threw my hands up in the air and I was like, I can't do this because what, everybody's different accents, because I was like, well, maybe if the kids are English they sound English, but they're the Italians, they grew up there, but I was like, they actually grew up in Spain, but whatever, like maybe if they are all the same. But then it was mostly the American accent.
Yeah,
it was mostly
like
the American
accent. Ripped enough by the story overall, it would still annoy you, but not so much that you, like, we get pulled out that often.
I think that maybe one thing is, because, like, there's the potential of, the snobbery aspect of, like, oh, well, the American accent is, you know, lower than the British or the
European. Yeah, maybe that's it.
But, so there is that possibility, but it's also, like, it comes from a different time period.
Yeah.
You know, if you're all doing, like, the vaguely European, like, this is a historical accent, or it's just, like, what it sounds like to us as this is a historical accent, then you bring in someone who's speaking modern-day English and American accent, and then it's, like,
it just feels weird.
It's like, and again, it's like, there is productions where, like, that's the point. Like, bringing up again Hamilton, right? Like, obviously, the point is that they are speaking like they're in modern day, and they look like they're in modern day.
Yeah.
But to have it all be a historical piece where, like, all the costumes are right and the settings are right, but then, like, there's just this one accent sticking out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
It's kind of
How much do we know about historically how they would have sounded, though?
Well, that's the thing, like, because it doesn't really matter. Make it up. It's just, like, the vague, like, oh, we're all, it's just the fact that one of them sounds super different.
And I think that's it, like, because I was thinking about it, I don't think it would mind me if they just did everybody was American.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that would bother me as much. And, you know, and there is the problem of you deal with the regional, because it can get off-putting sometimes, too, when everybody's doing, like, British accents, but they're all different British accents, and you get the really strong ones. Like, even Matt, my husband, who is Welsh, can't stand some of the northern accents from England. He just doesn't like that. Like, he doesn't like the Arctic Monkeys very much, because their accent is so thick in his accent, he doesn't
I love their accent.
I know, right? Although he did, the other day, let me play a song, and he was like, no, it actually doesn't bother me so much anymore. I was like, maybe you've grown up. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, but yeah, there's that, and so maybe that's part of the problem, is it sounds so modern. Right. It would almost feel like I'm used to what the West Coast / Canada basically has almost a California accent too. Only if they were using like every other word, then it would be a problem, right? And so maybe that's part of the problem, is he doesn't even seem to have that thick of an accent, but it's really distinct. And I know John Doman, I think was the name of the actor. And I've heard it before. I've seen him before. And I think it's just so distinct that I was just like, this is taking me out. Mm-hmm. Dustin Hoffman didn't bother me nearly as much, even though it's just freaking Dustin Hoffman. And I just felt like I was watching Dustin Hoffman.
Not... I mean, consistency is important. Like, in anything, really, too. Because that's one of your questions, right? Like, that he sticks out so much. And that's unless there's a reason, like, story-wise, for him to sound different than everyone else, then you should be consistent.
Yeah.
As much as possible. I mean, people are allowed to come from different places, so there's that, you know. But, I mean, maybe he just couldn't do any... I mean, I think I remember... I might have put this in the article, but I don't remember. But I think I said, like, on one of the Lord of the Rings DVD special edition behind-the-scenes stuff, they say the reason why, like, Billy Boyd has his, like, native Scottish accent in the movie is because he wasn't good at...
doing
like, softening it.
Yeah.
So they were like, well, you know, then just talk, you know.
Yeah,
so
just go ahead
maybe
with that.
He was just, but then if he's that, like, if you are in a show like this and you can't manage to, like, not sound like you're clearly not in the right place.
Right, then why would you be in that show?
Then cast for this part?
Yeah. At least with Lord of the Rings, it's fantasy. Mm-hmm. So it feels like it doesn't really matter as much.
Which is actually what my article is about.
Yeah.
Why do we associate, because it was as much about why do we associate fantasy with British accents as why do we associate Europe? Like, you kind of like both.
Yeah.
Because it even makes less sense. Like, fantasy, it's all fake anyway, right?
That
reminds me, I don't know if you guys ever saw the War and Peace miniseries. All I can remember is Clemence Posey was in it. Uh-huh. She played Natasha. And that was the reason why I watched it, because I went through a phase where I was obsessed with her. But... anyway, everyone was from different places in Europe, and everyone had their own accent.
Mm-hmm.
So even in the same family, it would be like, she was obviously French, and like, I think her mother was Russian, and like, you know, there was like her Spanish best friend, or like, you know, but it wasn't like, I think like the first few minutes I was like, this is weird, but then after a while I was like, you know what, like, obviously they're all from their own place, and...
yeah.
We're just gonna go along with it.
I mean, Wonder Woman, they made everybody do kind of an Israeli accent so that at least they sounded like... because obviously Gal Gadot can't get rid of her accent.
Right. Right.
So...
so they did make them sound like... and that was good. Like, even sometimes it's like, oh, that's fake. But it doesn't matter because you know that they're all, like...
at least they all sound kind of the same.
Yeah.
And it would be weird if... an island of women who are completely isolated from everybody didn't sound the same.
Yeah.
Or at least somewhat the same.
Right.
If they, you know, if you randomly had Robin Wright doing her regular accent, or like her American accent, it would have been very strange.
That would have been very odd.
Yeah. But I don't know. It was just, and maybe it's partly the actor. Maybe it really, like, he felt like a weird choice for the Pope as well. I don't know. I mean, he's not the Pope at the beginning of the show. But I know he becomes Pope, and it
what
just
I've
felt
seen
like really
him
strange.
Because
he's been in so much.
He was in Gotham.
Okay, that's why. I was like,
Carmen Falcone in Gotham.
No wonder. I was like, I just saw that man's face. Thank you. So that would be why, like, for me, it would be hard to unsee that.
I haven't, and I see, I don't watch Gotham, and so I haven't seen him in anything recently, I don't think. I'm looking to see what else I've seen him in.
He's in, like, he's like a career actor.
Yeah, he's been in so much. I'm looking.
He's familiar to me, like, one of those bad
guys. He's in Berlin Station for a few episodes, but.
Oh, there you go.
Am I allowed to talk about not K-drama specifically, but something related to this topic?
Yeah, yes, you are. It's okay. Everybody just take a drink.
Podcast from a very number of years ago where they were discussing like how good or not good some actresses were in like their historical roles, and I think they were especially talking like K-pop stars that try to act or whatever,
right?
And they were saying there's these ones, and I had seen the shows they were talking about, and it didn't stand out to me how, like, I didn't think that they were as bad as the women on the podcast were saying they were, but apparently it was because they're so bad at pronouncing, and they're supposed to be trying to make it sound a little bit more historical.
That's funny.
But they were like so bad at their delivery and couldn't get rid of their very modern accents, and so they, but that's not something I would notice, so I'm like,
right,
you know,
yeah. How funny.
Like, this is great.
Yeah, I mean, it just goes to show maybe not everybody would be as bothered by it, because they're like, that's what American sounds like, whatever, and I'm like, no. I don't know. It just, I couldn't watch it. But then, like I said, and I will admit, I almost turned off when I realized Dustin Hoffman was doing his regular accent. I was like, maybe I need to walk away because maybe I can't do this. And I was like, no. When I realized he really was dead and he wasn't going to be in the show that much, I'm like, okay, I'm watching this for Richard Madden really anyway.
Right.
And so I got through it and it's fine. And it's not, I mean, it's not amazing television. It's not fantastic, but it was entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had it in the background, so it didn't bother me as much. But Borja, I just don't think I can
be a little bit of Ben Barnes's fake sort of Spanish accent.
I'm sorry. Every time Ben Barnes plays a Latino, I die inside. Why?
No, not
he's played a Latino. He's played a Latino. Like, there was that movie where he was with Amanda Seyfried. That was the only reason why I watched it again, because I just have my periods of being obsessed with random women. So one of them was Amanda Seyfried.
That's okay.
And Prince Caspian in the Prince.
Yeah, he was Spanish. Movie. He was Spanish.
Prince
in that
Caspian,
one. Yeah,
and they were like, do a Spanish accent, like from Spain. Mm-hmm. They were like, do that.
And that's. Like, but that's why he gets cast as Latinos, because of his terrible Spanish accent in Prince Caspian. So now he gets random brown roles.
Which is a good segue.
Yeah.
This is why you messed this up, Narnia. Like, what?
And then they didn't even make all the movies. So what was the point? What
yeah,
was the
really.
Point?
He is. I have to. Like, I have to say though, he's really pretty.
He is very pretty.
He's
he
so pretty. Pretty. I liked when he was on
Silver Chair. Chair is happening.
Oh really?
I don't know how they're gonna. How are they gonna do them all? Because the last book.
I think they're rebooting, aren't they?
But the last book is like Christian end times allegory. Like,
yeah.
It is. It has C.S. Lewis's like idea of theological inclusivism versus exclusivism, like everyone dies and they go up to heaven. Like, I'm just like, how, if you're gonna try to keep making Narnia movies, you're not gonna be able to do the last
one. Just gotta stop at the second to last one. That's fine.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that we should have that discussion with when Corey's around sometime, because he's a huge Narnia fan.
Really?
Which is funny, because then he's Jewish, so it feels weird that he likes such a really overtly Christian.
I know we actually talked about C.S. Lewis in my theology class in college.
Oh, okay. You know, there you go. Okay, whenever there's actually something to talk about. I think they're rebooting them, right?
I would hope so. I mean, it's been way too long to
use those kids.
Yeah.
Although they do eventually age in the books, don't they? Aren't they not even...
The last one. The last one that they can't do, because it would be weird.
Yeah.
They are adults in that one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The one they can't do. They'll find a way.
I don't know how they would... And the horse and his boy is kind of racist. Which is like the second to last one. So yeah, I don't know how they're
going
to do it.
That sounds great. But yeah, speaking of people, actors not being where they should be from and thus having terrible accents. Yes. Oh, Supergirl. So Supergirl this week, everyone was previously raving about the episode, like critics and stuff, because Floriana Lima does such a good job in her scenes with her dad. But I thought that, I don't think either of you ladies watched it, right?
No.
Okay, so let me tell you about this.
Okay.
So, I was like, oh, this is a good episode, because they're paralleling dads, right? We've got John's dad on Mars, and Maggie's dad, who shows up for her bridal shower. But, ever since they cast Floriana Lima, because the character was supposed to be Latina, like, this is like, oh, Maggie's gonna be Latina, it's gonna be awesome. But then they cast Floriana, who is Italian. And, at first...
That's not the same thing,
Yeah, it's
Hollywood.
Not the same thing.
Just
it's not
FYI.
The same thing, first of all. And second off, like, people would ask, were asking her if she was Latina, and she was, like, being cagey about it. Like, she wasn't telling people where she was from until someone, like, found some, like, interview or something where she was talking about being Italian. So, like, okay, so you are Italian. And she's like, oh, well. So, anyway. Really? It was really awkward. But ever since it, like, from the very beginning, like, they pulled back on her being Latina. Like, they didn't, like, nothing about her character says that she is.
Okay.
There was one line in her first episode where she's like, being non-white and gay is very difficult. And then ever since then, they didn't bring it up again. So I thought it was over. But then her dad comes in, played by Carlos Bernard, who is also not Latino, just for the record. I think he actually has Spanish descent. So it's like,
yeah,
close.
Yeah, no, I looked it up. His mother is Spanish.
Yeah, but being like Spanish is not
just
being Latino.
His name is Carlos. No, right. Carlos is a Latino name.
Yeah, yeah.
Just
it's
because
like
your name is Carlos doesn't mean you are a Latino.
Right. Like,
it can
Spanish people are racist against Latinos because Latinos have indigenous blood.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Yes.
It's not that you speak Spanish, which neither of them can do, so that also doesn't matter.
Okay.
But anyway, so he shows up, and first off, I'm supposed to believe that a Latino dad kicked his 14-year-old daughter out of his house and sent her to live with someone else because she shamed him by being gay, because the culture. And I was like, okay, yes, Latin America is homophobic, like everywhere else, but also Latin America is very close-knit, right? And they're all about shaming you in their direct vicinity. So he would be keeping her around and be like, we are going to shame the gay out of you.
Oh,
right?
Nice.
It's like
okay.
One would imagine. So I don't know
Ouch.
What father was like, goodbye. Send her away. So anyway. So I was supposed to believe that. And then every time Maggie tried to speak Spanish, it sounded horrible. And
oh,
she called her dad the Pope like 3 times. Because she said, she would say, papa, instead of papa. Right?
Oh.
Just like Natalie Wood did in West Side Story. When she calls papa instead of papa.
Anyway,
so I was like, all right, so that's fine. And then finally, there was an awesome scene. Well, it should have been an awesome scene, I suppose, but I don't even know who. I feel like it wasn't written by people who would understand anyway.
Yeah.
But where he was talking about why he treated her this way, because as a Mexican working in the factory, he was, you know, mistreated and, like, beaten up and stuff, and he just wanted life to not be so difficult for her because, like, people are always gonna be racist, but now they're also gonna be homophobic. And I was like, okay, so you kicked her out of the house at 14. That makes total sense. I'm right there with you. I'm with you 100%. And then he says, they're building a wall to keep us out. And he also called himself
derogatory term.
Yes. So I was like, okay, well, that's weird. But also, who is building the wall? Because Linda Carter is the president, not Trump.
Yeah.
So is Linda Carter building a wall? Like,
yeah,
what happened? You just really wanted
a wall around the globe.
Yeah.
The alien
there you go, that's the wall.
So they wanted to be really, I don't know, political and, like, speak to, like, the realism, but, like, the scene is not realistic because it's two white people talking about being brown and then forgetting that Linda Carter exists. Okay.
Wow.
Anyway.
So all around bad. Supergirl fail.
But
epic fail.
John's storyline in Mars was great.
Yeah.
You go, John.
Oh, that's good, at least.
You go, John's dad. But yeah. And then, of course, there's the whole fact that, like, you guys know she's leaving, right, the show. And it was her choice to leave. But fans are very upset about this, right? Because they love the Sanders relationship. So it's like they're trying to work in a storyline for, like, why she's going to leave. And it's very obvious why she's going to leave by this point. But, like, people are just like, well, it's a cop-out. Like, you're just doing that because she's leaving. And I was like, yeah, but she's the one that wants to leave.
Yeah, it's not like they're forcing her out.
Yeah.
If
so,
she wants to leave,
I mean,
there's not
what are they supposed
one.
To do? Like, if she wants to leave, at least they're... I feel like they're trying to keep that relationship its due in a way that, like... I mean, I guess they want to write her off in such a way that she could come back. But she could come back. She could change her mind.
Yeah.
The actress and the character could change her mind, decide she wants kids and come back. So they're not killing her off. And they're... I mean, I think they're... I mean, it's true that we don't get to see enough happy endings for non-heterosexual couples on TV, but, like, at least I feel like they're going to have a really mature adult conversation about it.
And
they're going to...
It's not like Maggie... It's not like Alex isn't going to date after, you know?
Yeah.
And, in fact, the fact that Alex is going to date again also upsets people. And I was like, but what is it? Like, this is her first relationship.
That you want her to never have...
Exactly.
another relationship again. That's not a healthy right. way to portray homosexuals either.
I think
either.
It's great to see that for her to be able to grow from that and yeah. find someone else. And in my dream world, that someone else would be Rain, who would somehow not be evil. So I was like, hey, look, Maggie wants to be Latina, but Rain actually is Latina. And Maggie doesn't want to have children, and Rain has a child. But whatever, it's fine.
The story is there, just use it.
Don't listen to me.
So why do we think that, like, this is the middle ground that Hollywood, it's like, it's not blackface. So they can get brown. Is that why they think it's okay?
I mean, I guess.
You can tan. It's fine. I mean,
I think it's just because it feels like there's like a, I mean, there's obviously a stigma against casting someone, I don't know, who naturally looks darker. Like, I don't know, because racism is prevalent even in Latin America, that they don't cast indigenous looking actors, you know, like they cast their whitest actors to be in all their big roles. And then every once in a while, a tan actor will play like La Chola del Barrio that the rich dude picks up off the street and falls in love with.
Oh, yeah.
But otherwise,
I feel like you see that every Bollywood is like that. K-drama stuff and a lot of Asian stuff is like that as well.
Yeah.
Like, it's, we messed everyone up.
Yeah. It's not as much, it's the English mostly. I mean, and it's not even the British, it's the English that really, they're mostly responsible for it. But I mean, because they do it in their same, in their culture. Too, because, you know, the BBC accent, everybody had to drop their accents to have the more posh British accent. And, you know, and I have a really great story. Like, when I was studying in the UK in 2000, one of my professors told a story about how he had witnessed a hate crime, but he didn't realize it was a hate crime at first, because these, like, lads, so these, like, really, like, tough idiot boys in the UK, that's what they call them, right? Had chased this family into a Pizza Hut. And, like, they had to bar them in. Like, these kids were going after them. And at first, when my professor was talking to the police, they were like, well, it was a hate crime. It took him a minute to realize they were Irish. So, yes, it counted as a hate crime, even though they're white.
Because it's because they're Irish.
Because they're Irish. And, I mean, look at what the English have done. I mean, they don't even really like the north of England, to be honest, but especially they don't like Wales and Scotland. And they've done everything. And so, yes, they've basically fucked everybody. Fuck you, English people. I'm kidding. Says the girl who just got her test back and says she's 67% British and Irish.
But it's more Irish, I think.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
All the Supergirl stuff reminds me of that Always Sunny episode where they find a dumpster baby. And want to try to, like, make Dumpster Baby famous and cast it in commercials, but then they're told by the casting director that white babies don't sell anymore, so they try to take the baby to a tanning salon.
Oh! That's terrible.
The tanning salon employees want to call CPS on them.
Oh, well, good. You go, tanning salon.
But it's what I just tan the baby up and they can pass for whatever.
Oh, yeah. That's, but yeah, oh, man, it's so horrible.
Yeah, it just goes to show we have, because, like, they obviously didn't even think that was a problem.
Right.
It's like, huh, she's not Hispanic. That's all right. She's brown. What does it matter? No. Still not okay. That's the same thing as casting, like, a Japanese person to be, like, Korean. Actually, it's worse because they're not white. Pretending to be a different, at least they are Asian, I guess, but it's still bad because they're not the same thing.
Exactly. But Japanese and Korean, it's not, they're manatee. The relations aren't awesome right now.
It's even more insulting.
Yes.
No, I'm just saying, my one Korean friend got a mutual friend had put on Facebook that her son was going to karate classes, but she saw that there was the Korean flag, like, on the background of things. She's like, no, that's Taekwondo. We don't do karate. Like, do not confuse us.
They are different.
Yeah.
Very different, actually.
Well, there's a lot of bad blood, because there was a lot of war crimes.
Basically, we all just kind of suck.
Right.
Humans are terrible. If we can find a way to subjugate another race, we will.
But humans
just suck.
In The Good Place.
Yes.
But at least it's a good show about how humans suck.
There you go.
Right now, that's the, but they're trying to train him to be good. And they cannot, because he is a demon.
He's yeah, how demon. Do you how do you make a demon try and like he doesn't get ethics. He doesn't understand ethics. All he's ever done in his thousands and thousands of years of existence is torture people.
Mm-hmm. But they've been mining that for so much good humor. Although, like, yeah. I don't know, I'm getting a little dissatisfied with how much emphasis we're getting on Michael this season. I'm like, I mean, whatever, he's a demon. Like, Ted Danson is so good.
Ted Danson is amazing.
I want the development for our other characters.
Yeah, but it always it doesn't always like increasingly gravitate towards like one character and
yeah, each episode kind of does. Yeah. And so we had a head cheaty for a while, so I was mad, but then it was pretty cheaty centric this past week, so I was happy again.
Yes,
the
oh
thing
God.
With the
trolley problem.
The trolley problem.
Although I really don't like. I guess I don't understand the trolley problem. Like, as an actual ethics. Like, I've definitely heard it before, but I'm always like, yeah, you obviously save the five people over the one person. So, it's, like, why does it get different? Like,
the doctor example was even worse. Yeah. Like, yeah, like, you don't kill a healthy... No, my friend who, she's got a doctorate in communications, but she, like, gets most of these references to philosophy on the show. She's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, she's like, I've always hated the trolley problem.
Right,
so I think maybe that's kind of
because like that's how I felt about it.
Yeah, I mean it's not as the doctor one is way more cut and dry. Is like okay, that makes you a like you're actually actively killing somebody, but it's supposedly the same thing, but it's like it is, but it isn't. You can't stop the trolley,
right?
You're just deciding okay, it's gonna kill less people, and somehow that's it is worse, I guess, because you make the choice to change it instead of just staying hands off and just letting the trolley kill people.
But I guess the thing is, like, if you didn't know that you could switch it, then great. But, like, or if someone told you at the very last second you couldn't switch it, you'd still feel bad. Yeah. But you didn't you didn't actively choose to kill more people. Because, like, once you know that you could switch it to kill less people, then you are actively choosing to kill more people.
That's true.
I don't know about that trolley problem,
That's
guys.
A tough one. But poor Chidi ended up with human in his mouth. That was horrible. That's what he really cared about. He was like, but there's people in my mouth.
His Australian friend with the boots was back.
Yes! I think I was surprised by Eleanor's reaction, too. Like, I don't know. She felt, like, much more, like, understand. Like, it's like she's really growing in the background this season.
Yeah. Especially given that this is a reboot where they found out that it was the bad place and they'd only been for a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she'd only had, like, I think the first episode with this new reset or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she hasn't interacted with it. Like, she grew so much last season because she had been going to his lessons for a while and been interacting with everyone for a while. But here, I feel like it's all a lot sooner. Some of it might be she's sitting on that knowledge that she got from Mindy Sinclair.
Yes.
Yeah.
So she's, first, I think the self-awareness of that you're in the bad place could make her really contemplate her life a lot faster than it would when she thinks she's in a good place all along.
And I also feel like there has to be a layer of, like, even if you don't consciously remember, like, that experience still happened to you.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You think, like, that somehow affects
each
character.
That's what Mindy Sinclair said, too, when she was like, I don't know Chidi at all. She's like, no. Guys have been together for a really long time.
Yeah.
So I think the show wants us to think that as well, and that gets us into Janet.
I mean, even Jason, by the way, just as an aside, figured it out.
That's right. Yeah. Jason figured
it out. Jason figured
it out,
so he has to have some kind of knowledge.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, I don't think anybody believes that Janet. Because, like, a good place, Janet's one job is to make the good place even better for the people who live there, to make them happy.
Yeah.
So if, like, Tahani and Jason are having problems in their relationship, and Janet is helping them, then she's fulfilling her duty.
Right.
So that wouldn't make her malfunction.
Right.
Yes.
So, I think, like you were saying, I think, like, she's jealous, and on some level, but that might be what she's saying. She's like, I'm not behaving properly, because maybe, on some level, she is jealous, and
she knows
she knows that
correct
she,
reaction,
right.
And so she's glitching.
Yeah, because, like, her feelings are causing her to want to do something that would make them less happy.
Yeah. She doesn't want to help
them. What does it say about this show that, like, we have this couple who, they're two consenting adults who have, like, gone through couples therapy weekly to really improve their relationship, and I'm like, throw it out the window, I want the idiot with the robot.
It's funny because, like, weren't they supposed to be soulmates in the first iteration?
Yeah.
And so it's like, but you, like, knew quickly that was, like, fake or, like, that wasn't correct.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of funny because, like, in a way, it's like it's on the same trajectory as Chi and Eleanor. So, like, I should want both of them to happen.
Yeah.
But the Janet, but I'm definitely like, no, but I'm invested in Janet and.
Which is weird because you really do want him with the robot.
Yeah.
Or program, whatever she is.
Yeah, whatever she is. But at the same time, like, I have nothing against Tahani and Jason. Like, I think they can be cute, but it's just not what I signed up for.
So. Yeah. So what, poor Tahani ends up alone?
Right, no, exactly. I don't want Tahani alone, but...
I was definitely, in season one, I was an OT3 shipper.
Yeah.
With her and Chidi and Eleanor.
I'd be down for that.
But I don't feel it right now. I don't feel it where the characters are at this moment, but I was totally there, like, late season one. So I want us to get back to a place. I mean, we're never going to get Ken and Polly on TV.
No. Except for maybe the closest could be with Janet, since she is a robot. Maybe we can get that OT3.
That would be weird. Yeah, I don't know. I've never been invested in any of the relationships on the show. That's not why I watch.
Right.
So.
Right. I mean, yeah, like.
I like them, but yeah.
Exactly. Like, it doesn't bother me to not have the ones. And, like, and also, like, what is the, like, how is having a relationship on this show? Like, they're in hell. Like, what's going to happen?
Yeah, what are they?
You know, they're not going to get
married. It's not going to end well.
Like, yeah, so, like.
Maybe that's part of why, because I don't want to get invested.
What I really care about is Jason and Janet, especially if I don't want Jason and Tahani together. I don't know why. I don't have a reason.
Yeah.
I'm just like, no.
It feels weird, and that's why they're doing it, but it just feels...
Yeah. You know, okay, it kind of reminds me of Anne and Tom in Parks and Recreation. Except Anne and Tom was so much worse. But I don't know if you guys... Oh, you didn't? Oh, okay.
No,
so
I still
didn't Anne is, like, the beautiful perfect, like, beautiful tropical fish, beautiful naive newborn baby, like, all the... Like, basically, like, the woman that the main female is obsessed with, like Eleanor is obsessed with Tahani. Okay. Except they had a much more positive relationship. It was just a straight-up positive female friendship. But at one point, when she's, like, going through, like, a dry spell of just, like, all these... I've had these horrible relationships, what do I do? And I broke up with this guy that I really like. I'll date Tom, the, like, idiot, pervy kind of, you know...
Yeah.
Man-child,
yeah. Who is, like, the Jason, sort of. But Jason's much sweeter than Tom. Tom is ridiculous. Anyway, so then they dated... And it went on for so long, and it was so, like, baffling, and it just didn't make any sense. And it was just not a relationship. Like, and neither of them were, like, really happy in the relationship. It was just super weird, but just kept going. Until, I guess, finally the writers were like, all right, we're done torturing you. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that Mike Sher does. Like, I don't think that they're going to end game. First, because this show, nothing is ever going to last, if you believe.
Only but, eternal, like, pain and suffering.
I mean, you had Gina and Boyle on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, too.
Hey, Gina and Boyle was hilarious. So, excuse yourself.
It was. So, I mean, like, I feel like Mike Sher likes to lean into these weird relationships for a little while. Like, just to, like, let's just pair these two people that shouldn't be together just for a bit. Mm-hmm. Just to, like...
And the good thing is that he always does that with, like, the side characters. Mm-hmm, like, even though, like you said, you're more invested in Janet and Jason, so it's a problem for you. But the main, like, he doesn't do that with, like, his main ship or his protagonist. He always puts, like, the characters around them in, like, weird, baffling relationships for a period of time. But you don't have to deal with your protagonist suddenly not making sense because of their relationship. So that's good. Because too often in shows, especially shipping shows, they'll be like, oh, let's do this one, even though that completely reorganizes the dynamics of the show, and now it makes everything weird for a season.
I think I've gotten scared of shipping, because it's just, even though when it's, like, you get what you want, and you're shipping the main ship that's obviously endgame, it doesn't go well, and it's painful.
I think
Lee fucked me over.
Yeah. I mean, and they're always gonna mess something up for the sake of drama. Right?
Yes.
And they're like, oh, this is good TV. And you're like, but I'm the one watching the TV, and I don't think it's good.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Maybe so that's why it's easier now for me to ship characters that I can, that people have really, like, strong opinions about, but I don't actually want to see them in the thing that I'm shipping, but I'll read, like, the fanfic.
Oh, it's it's not really crack shipping, but you can call it that, right? Just, like,
I will admit that I read Stucky fanfiction. But I never, ever, ever want to see them together. And, like, I do not want to see that happen in the films. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess if it happened, it would, like, I wouldn't throw a hissy fit, but I don't want to see it happen.
Right.
And, in fact, I'm happier if it doesn't happen, because that would be just, they would kill it. So don't ever do that. And it's fine, because Marvel's never going to do that, so whatever. Right. And yes, now you can drink again, because I've brought the MCU into this. I was trying not to say it, because I was trying not to say it. I was like, fuck it, I have to do it.
She already brought up K-drama.
There you go. Every single time.
It's fair game.
barely. It was like one sentence. But, no, I have no idea. Like, I don't want to try to figure out where they're going because we can't. But like, right. What's the end game? Are they going to get to heaven? Are they going to get to heaven?
I guess like, the thing.
Like, I guess that's Michael. Unless, like, what are they doing with
unless
Michael?
Unless they know it's the final is he gonna season. Try in the final season, they could get to heaven, and yeah. They could do one season in heaven.
I almost feel like mm-hmm. watching it lately. I'm not sure how long it can go
right,
on.
Right.
Because especially because they rush through, and I mean, it felt better that if you think about it, it made more sense for them to rush through mm-hmm. hundreds of iterations. Like they couldn't have just shown us, you know, okay, right. We have to reboot every few weeks, whatever. That would have gotten old. Mm-hmm. But it was amazing to me how fast they rushed through it. And now I feel like, how long can this show last?
Yeah, and they also rushed through Michael knowing that they know.
Yeah.
You know? So that's
it. I mean, I even felt that in season one, back yeah. before, like, mm-hmm. we just thought the basic premise was that she was mistakenly in the good place.
Yeah.
I was like, how long could they drag this out? Like, they can't drag, like, we can't be, like, season four and she's still, like, secretly in the good place.
Right.
Like, we're right. gonna,
But nobody saw yeah. the bad place coming.
They had to side with Michael, though, because if he comes to them, like, they can't send him away.
Right.
They have to keep him where they can watch him, because he'll... Like, they have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what's actually interesting about it, is that they all have to have this uneasy alliance, because, like, the jig is going to be up for any of them so easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they'll get real tortured.
I mean, I guess that's sort of, like, what is looming, right? Because, like, we haven't seen any kind of semblance of real torture, you know? Like, and there isn't even...
They talk about it, but they haven't
yeah, like, and I don't even, like, yeah. feel a fear that would happen to them. Yeah. Just because of the nature yeah. of the show, you know, just, like, the tone and everything. So, like, I don't know, I guess if there's... however many ways you come up with to avoid that torture, mm-hmm. right? Because then once you actually introduce that, then it's a different...
Yeah, I would change that. Not sure you can make that funny yeah. in the same way.
Yeah.
It'd be awkward. I'm randomly sitting here thinking, I'm like, what would my torture be? And now that we talked about the shipping, I'm like, God, being in the place where I was with, like, the worst parts of Klain.
Oh,
the cheating.
No.
Or when I had to watch Rose leave.
Aww.
Billy Piper leave Doctor Who. I swear to God, that was my birthday party.
Your
I watched
heart.
That episode. Matt, like, was, like, holding me. I was crying.
Oh, no.
So I get so invested in my ships.
Yeah.
That's why I'm trying not to.
I was blessed not to ship anything for Doctor Who, but.
Yeah, that was
if we're bringing K-drama back up, I mean,
this is why you should watch K-dramas.
There you
it's
go.
So easy to ship on K-dramas.
No, I mean, you can predict that around episodes, like, 13 to 14, they're going to be sad for a while.
Yeah.
They,
there's like, the episode of
so
sadness.
Skip those.
Yeah.
Unless it's a historical one where they might die.
Right.
If it's, like, one of the modern, trendy rom-coms, they're gonna end up together. Like,
yeah.
you know
yeah.
that that's gonna happen. And you know what might not be seasons later. Like, it'll be just get through, we're seeing it,
they'll be
and then you'll be
16
fine.
To 20 episodes, and you'll be good. Don't even worry about it. And...
they will give it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Doctor Who one is actually is the worst one
uh-huh.
because I was really involved in that fandom.
Oh, no.
And, like, we literally were saying what we wanted to happen was what happened. Where it was when we realized there was going to be a half-human doctor. We're like, that's what you do. And then it happened and we were like, this is so much worse than we thought. Why did we want this? Why did we want this? This is awful because you still had to watch the doctor walk away.
Uh-huh.
And then it became worse because then he had to also say goodbye to his best friend. But yeah, it was just like, oh God, kill me now. We asked for this.
I did not rewatch Doomsday for years. I'm like, why would I hurt myself?
It really, really hurts. Yeah. Like, I was sobbing.
Uh-huh. I know.
Ugh. Anyway.
It was terrible. I'm watching this with John, and he's like, there.
Have I ever been truly, like, shaken up by, like, a truly, like, a ship truly not happening for me? Like, I was super upset. End of the World, Roswell, season 2, episode 5? Yeah?
I don't remember
okay.
episodes
well,
on that
this was
show.
The episode where future Max came and told Liz that she had to break up with Max in order to save the world, right?
Okay.
I was so upset in that episode. It was so horrifyingly sad to me.
That was pretty upsetting. Yeah.
But I was like I was a wee one, right? I was like 12 or 13 or something. And so anyway, that was my first like time like really truly being upset. But like you know that Max was their end game.
Yeah.
Even so though, like they never really got back together until like the end of season 2 and then he had to deal with like someone else, like being the baby daddy to someone else.
Yeah.
So it never really got back the first
no,
spark.
No,
you know?
It wasn't
so,
as good. No,
so I
really
so I did feel like that was like my first like shipping heartbreak. It's just
to
rewatch
that show. I watched my whole family watched Roswell.
Roswell was so good.
It was a great show.
Yeah, it was so good. But sometimes you do things to the main ship, and then it's like you can never get back
it's
the purity
of
before.
It's hard.
You know?
Yeah. That's why with Glee, I was so angry about the cheating. Because it was like, really? You could have done this in a way that didn't have to. But that, like, somebody hurt Ryan Murphy.
Right.
Somebody hurt Ryan Murphy at some point. Because he's gone to the point where he takes the 80% of people, or 80% of people cheat at some point during their life.
Yeah.
And decided that meant that 80% of relationships have somebody cheating. Because everyone on that show cheated.
Yeah.
Everybody did.
It was really, Glee was...
I just don't watch certain episodes now, right?
There you go.
I mean, at least they were mostly supposed to be high schoolers most of the time.
Yeah, but even high schoolers. I feel like, if anything, high schoolers are less likely to cheat because they don't have as many options.
You just break up and then sleep with somebody else, and then you realize that was a stupid thing to do, and you get back together, and then you break up again, and you just, that's what you do.
Rinse and repeat.
Anyway. Just because we talked about Doctor Who, I'm just curious what you guys, have you seen the casting of the new companion?
I saw it, but I haven't gone into it.
I haven't actually looked at it very much either, but it looks like a good grouping. I'm not sure, are they all going to be full-time companions?
I saw that it was, like, two, and then, like, one is, like, an extra, I think.
I think it would be fun to have a crowded TARDIS for once.
Yeah.
I like the idea of the female doctor being, like, fuck this whole, like, lone wolf.
Yeah.
I suffer in my angst nonsense. Like, because that was the moment in Russell T. Davies' finale, where he had, like, all of the people who had been companions at various points.
Yeah.
And they were all flying the TARDIS together for that one brief moment. It was happening. I was like, that was just fun. There's no reason not to give us that on a weekly basis. Like, there's no reason why. I mean, you're supposed to go off and have adventures.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I loved when, Amy and Rory were together on TARDIS.
That was something I really wanted to see for a while. Because we got a little bit of that with Rose and Mickey, but then it was problematic because it was like, but Rose basically fucked Mickey over.
Yeah, just treating
her. And she really was already moved on with Doctor, even though she couldn't really move on with the Doctor.
Okay, remember when, the second or third episode, she actually got a new boyfriend randomly from, I think it was, the game show?
Adam?
Adam, yeah. And I was like, what happens? Yeah. And then she gets back, it's like, oh, hey, Mickey. And I was like,
yeah, Mickey deserves so much better on that show.
Something is not right about this.
I was happy when Mickey decided to stay in the alternate universe, because I was like, Mickey, you deserve better. But then he came back and he was with Martha. And I didn't mind that, but I was like, but you just ditched Martha's, Tom Ellis, who played her fiance at one point, right? I was like, but we never saw that.
Screen. Like, she's with, and we're not going to see Mickey and Martha, develop their relationship.
Right.
Yeah.
Suddenly. Yeah. She was engaged to that miracle doctor guy.
Yes.
And then suddenly she's married to Mickey. And I was like, where is this story? I want this.
I know. I would have watched that. But Martha was one of those characters who was always under service.
Mm-hmm.
I hated Martha season two, but I loved, I don't know if either of you ever read, but they had a MySpace page for Martha.
Oh, really?
That was updated after every single episode, and it was kind of she was running a diary. That character was so much better developed. I hated what they gave her with, the unrequited love story. That was a stupid thing
to do. Yeah, I didn't like that they did that. I did love Martha, because, all I know of Martha is what I saw on screen, so I loved her, but I hated that they made her in love with the Doctor. I really wish they hadn't done that.
Yeah, And I totally admit that part of that is because I was just so upset over Rose. It was like, this was a stupid idea.
It's a black mark against her because people are going to compare her to Rose. Yeah.
There's nothing you do. And then I would read those MySpace pages and I'm like, see, why can't you have this character? This character's more interesting. And then she came back and she was awesome in season three, and she was the couple episodes she was in.
Mm-hmm.
And she was great in Torchwood.
Mm-hmm.
And it was
the good thing we got out of her, too, was I did love her, kiss off when she left. I deserve better myself.
Yes.
You treat me like crap. Because he did kind of, even taking the, he wasn't interested in her, even taking that out of it, he kind of treated her terribly.
Yeah.
I mean, when he pretended, when he was the human for a while, I'm gonna put you in this time period and, have you be, a servant in this time period. Go anywhere and hide anywhere.
Yeah.
But this is what we're gonna do, and that'll be fine for you.
Yeah,
it was really, really special.
I love 10, but there's a lot of problems with him.
Ten. Yeah.
But yeah, so we're looking at the story. It does look like they're...
Yeah,
it says
like
three
all
companions.
Like, yeah, and then there's a returning character that's
a
fourth returning
character.
And it's funny because you should be but one of them's an old white guy. But at the same time, no, it works. Because that's never who you get as a companion on the show.
Right.
It's always young and pretty. Mm. And not that he's you know, I'm sure people find him attractive. But apparently he's hilarious. Matt says he's really funny.
I'm sure
he's excited.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited.
But mostly
for
I'm just like, I think it looks cool. It's they're, you know, yeah, it's not what you would normally, it's usually a young, pretty white girl.
Right.
That was obviously not what they were going to do because that's what they cast the doctor.
Yes.
But, oh, she's not exactly young.
Are people complaining about them? Oh, surprise.
Of course people are complaining.
I mean, the question is, if there's so many companions, does this mean they're going to kill a companion off for the first time since, like, the 80s?
That would be interesting. I mean, it would be hard, but that would be interesting to see. Because, like, honestly, they should have just killed Clara, but that's not how she went out, right? I didn't watch the end of
It's like, they killed her, like, 300 times, but then it was, like, he pulled her out, like, seconds before she dies or something, and now she can, like, travel as long as she wants, but she's gonna die at that place. But she can do whatever she wants before then.
Oh. So she dies, but she doesn't really...
Yeah, that's really weird. Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm still salty about Danny, though. Because I was like, you don't kill anyone. Why did they kill Danny? Like, I just wanted the bare minimum. Which was for him to get to leave alive. And then Clara could join him when she leaves. All I asked. I don't even see it. But, whatever. Whatever.
We'll see what Christian Bell does.
It seems so politically correct.
Because I have not watched since early in Clara's run.
Oh,
I
really?
After that. I was like, I can't take Moffat anymore. I'm gone.
I watched the first season of 13, but I couldn't, or of 12, I mean, sorry. I couldn't keep going because, like, that was the first time that I was like, this is not the Doctor, and it just bothered me. So I'm really, and people have told me go back and watch the last few seasons, they were better, and I really want to see Bill because apparently she's great.
Yeah, I saw, like, 40 episodes with Bill in them, and I thought she was adorable. She was really funny, and I really liked his dynamic.
Yeah, so
I'm nervous
but I
about
think,
what I've read about her ending, though, so that I'm like, I feel like I didn't get to see it,
Christmas episode, so something they give her, so she's probably going to get some kind of happy resolution at some point.
That's good.
I'm not sure how,
and
but...
maybe I will do that. Is it on Netflix yet, the Bill's episodes?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
I don't know. Part of me is like, maybe I just need to wait and start, and it'll be, like, clean, fresh from the beginning. Or start from the beginning of 13, I should say.
Yeah, with new Doctor, new companions, new showrunner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. All new.
I like it.
We'll see. Anyway, so another British thing that I just watched was the first episode of Gunpowder played, and that is the story of Guy Fawkes and the plot, the Gunpowder plot, mm-hmm. to... blow up Parliament. And I'd forgotten this part. Kit Harington is in it, and he plays Robin Catesby, I think is his name.
Okay.
And I'd forgotten this. Matt reminded me that was one of Kit Harington's ancestors. He actually found that out, and that's part of the reason that he wanted to do it, because he's an EP, and he's like part creator on the show. It's 3 episodes. A lot of people had a lot of problems with it because they said it was too graphic. Mm-hmm. Because they do show a woman, they break her.
Oh.
You know what they used to put? They put a rock under their backs, mm-hmm. and then put a big piece of metal on top, and then they just put weights on, and it's awful.
Wow.
And then they show somebody get drawn and quartered.
Oh, wonderful.
And people were like, oh, it's too graphic, but it's like, yeah, but the point was, you're seeing it from the perspective of the plot, the people who are plotting it, for the most part. It is to show they had a reason. Whether you agree with the reason or not, obviously most people don't, they stopped him, and now every year they burn Guy Fawkes in effigy on November 5th.
Oh my god.
But it's an interesting story, and it's not one that you actually hear very often. Even if they celebrate this every year, they don't actually tell the story. Like, I don't know the whole story, and this is actually in the time period that I studied, but they didn't go into it a lot in my school. So, yeah, it's really interesting. First, there's 3 episodes, so the last one will air on November 5th, so it's Guy Fawkes Day. And I like it so far, and I like that they're not shying away from, because, like, James I is one of the monarchs that is very widely accepted as having been gay. Mm-hmm. Or there's a few that are bi, apparently, but it was pretty obvious he was gay. And they aren't shying away from that.
Oh, that's
so
good.
Yeah. I mean, they haven't shown him have sex with anybody yet or anything, which they might, because it's British television and they get graphic that way, but I doubt it. But they've obviously introduced his favorite, who is then being used to try and, you know, help. Mark Gatiss plays one of his, like, people in government who's trying to tell him that this is actually happening. You know, people are plotting. We need to go after the Catholics more and blah, blah, blah. So, I don't know. I like it so far.
So it was good first episode?
Yeah, I think it was. I like it's not amazing, but it's entertaining. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, it's graphic, but literally that's what was happening.
Just close your eyes.
So, yeah. I don't know.
That's what I do.
They actually show an old woman full frontal nudity.
Oh.
Yeah, I was like, wow.
Okay. Well, damn.
I know. I was like, wow, you went there. Okay. All
right. How about, I want to see some men with full frontal nudity.
I know.
Just saying.
Well, it was right before she was then the one who had the back weapon. So,
great.
That was why. It wasn't a pleasant experience for her. Yeah, anyway. So, moving on from that, one holiday that's happening soon.
Oh.
That we will be celebrating here, by the way. So, if you aren't doing anything November 5th, we will.
Guy Fawkes Day, you celebrate?
Which is funny, Matt, because Matt was like, before we watched it, he's like, is he playing Guy Fawkes? Because if so, we should burn in effigy a Jon Snow figure. I was like, no, I don't think he's playing
Guy Fawkes. That would be awesome if he was playing Guy Fawkes.
That would be hilarious. We can still burn a Jon Snow, but we did this once with a Vader figure, and then we all realized we're burning toxic plastic. This was a stupid thing to do.
No.
So we'll probably just burn one.
Her stepfather has been, like, wanting to do this big bonfire out. They have this big farm, and I'm like, Guy Fawkes Day is a Sunday.
Yes, exactly. I was like, it's a Guy Fawkes
party.
The first few years Matt was here, we actually celebrated it, and then we stopped doing it. But I was like, hey, it's a Sunday. Let's just do something. Why not?
Well, burn some shit. Fun.
It should be fall by then.
All right, so it might actually warm up.
Might actually cool down enough for us to, like, have a fire and not die. Because it's too hot.
It is so freaking hot.
Because it was 100 today. It was 105 yesterday in Southern California.
I'm so sorry.
It's 74 on Monday. But so Halloween will be cold.
Oh, good.
So that's good. But our Halloween party, which is the Saturday, is going to fucking die.
Yeah. Is that what October in LA is like?
No, it's 74? Usually... Oh, 74? Yeah, that's like. About... That's usually where we are. Yes, that's cold for us. Okay. In the middle of the night, it'll get to
It's been unseasonably warm over here, too. Just, you know, not that warm.
Yeah, it was 105 yesterday. I wanted to die. We almost went to the beach. If we had had time, we were going to go to the beach. Anyway, so as I was saying, segueing into another holiday, just we're going to do a really brief, like, it's Halloween.
Yeah.
We should talk spooky things. We actually do every other week, we do a movie night because I am the idiot who has not seen a lot of classic movies. So this last week, we watched Dracula, the original 1931, Bela Lugosi, and it was good. I'm glad I watched it. But everybody says basically wait until we get to, like, Frankenstein. Well, Bride of Frankenstein, I think, is the one that people like better.
I think so. I mean, everyone.
And then The Mummy and The Invisible Man. And I'm very excited that it's all on Shudder because we're going to be using that because I don't know how I was going to watch all these otherwise. No, we don't all own them.
So tell us about Shudder, Valerie.
So Shudder is from AMC, a streaming service, because we needed another one. Sorry. We've been through that. We have to acknowledge. And they have all kinds of, like, classic horror films, or even some new ones.
Yeah.
So, like, the sequel to Train to Busan is on there?
Yes.
What is it called?
Soul Station.
Soul Station.
Is it prequel?
It's prequel. Yes, sorry.
It's an animated prequel to Train to Busan.
Which I've never actually seen Train to Busan.
It's supposed to be really good. I haven't seen it. I'm going to be watching it.
Yeah.
I had to steal myself from the zombies. Since it's Halloween time, I'm going to watch
Zombies
Soul Station.
Yes.
And then I'll... Hop
over. So you're going to try and do it the prequel first?
I'm
going to
try and, even though it's not that way.
Maybe I'll do the opposite and then we can see what we think of it. There you go. That's what we'll do.
I did see, when I was looking over it on Shudder, I saw that they had this movie called Chat Room, which I watched, I don't even know how old it is, but I think it's like, must be like 2008 or 9, because I remember I watched it, I don't even know why, because of Imogen Poots?
Mm-hmm.
She's in it. It's like, it's literally like a chat room where you try to like get people to kill themselves or whatever.
Oh, okay.
So... so yeah, I don't know what became of that movie, but it is on Shudder. So
funny. That feels very 90s.
Yeah.
Like 90s, early aughts, whatever we're calling them.
I also because think that's Daniel when everybody Kaluuya was using is in it.
Okay.
But I didn't know him at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know him.
Well, so now you have to watch it again.
Yes.
Because then it's a whole different experience when you're like, hey, I know that guy.
Someone else. There must have been another reason why I watched Chat Room. Someone else is in it. But I don't even know why. It's not like it was a good movie. Like, don't watch it.
unless you're going to watch it.
Find someone. Okay, I was wrong. It's 2010. Well, I was close. I said 2009, 2010. Yeah. I was 1 year off. Okay, that dude. Aaron Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Aaron Taylor Johnson.
And Aaron Taylor Johnson, yes. Imogen Poots. Matthew Beard.
Oh, now
Daniel Kaluuya, Hannah Murray. There you go. Michelle Fairley. I knew there was more Michelle Richard Fairley. Madden.
Richard Madden. Okay, yes. Now I have to watch this, even if it's terrible.
So you can watch it on Shudder, and it's like got a great cast. The movie is not great, but like random people. But that's people a fantastic cast.
That's funny.
Yes.
I was watching and shit. I'm gonna going MCU Jason. But I was watching. I just made Matt watch. Oh God, what's it called? The Mail, The Craft.
Oh.
The one that Sebastian Stan is in.
Oh my God, yeah, The Covenant.
Yeah, The Covenant.
And isn't Chase Crawford in it too?
Yes. Chase Crawford is in it. And the guy from, what's his name? The guy from The Expanse, which I was watching it. And I'm like, oh my God, I didn't watch these all before. And now I like know who all these people are.
Oh my God. Jacob Anderson was also in it.
Oh my God.
Grey Worm from Game of Thrones. Well, and this is before Game of Thrones. They're all in the same thing.
This is amazing. And now we have to watch it because that's so cool.
Anyway,
it's so
fun.
Stephen Strait is.
Stephen Strait, that's right. And he had disappeared for a while, but he was so hot.
Yeah. Oh, and Taylor Kitsch.
Taylor Kitsch, that's
right. Taylor Kitsch is amazing in that movie.
This is like a crazy, like a horrible movie with all these hot dudes in
it. It's so terrible, but it's really great.
Yeah.
And, you know, like really, like the one homoerotic scene. But yeah. It's so terrible, but watch it anyway because it's funny. Just know it's awful. And it, you know, it's witchcraft, so it works for Halloween too.
Yeah.
I think I had to buy that one because I think it's not streaming anywhere.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I think I actually bought it on Amazon.
Why wouldn't someone snap that up?
I don't know because it's terrible and it's awesome. Terry actually made me watch that because she was like, no, it's like so bad.
It
but
is
it's good.
So bad. It was so bad.
It's wow. Like you watch The Craft, and The Craft is a great movie, even though it's silly, but it's a great movie. And you watch The Covenant, which is the male craft, and it's not good. It's just not good. It's back when Sebastian Stan is so adorable, but he was like weirdly awkward hot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He awkward like hot, he yeah. He grew into his hotness. He really did.
Agreed.
So that movie is, you know, he's got that weird smirk that he's got that it feels a little weird when he's that age. I don't know. Anyway.
But yes, if you do Shudder, it is kind of like set up like Netflix. Like they have like the different genres and
it's fun because there's like some really good, I don't know, there's all kinds of silly, scary movies.
Yeah, and you can leave skulls for each movie.
That's how you rate your
yes,
movie.
You rate it from 1 to 5 skulls.
That's hilarious.
So it's like, is it like the fewer skulls that there are, it's like the less gore death, or it like makes you feel
that's
less
how you
like death?
That's how you should rate it, right?
Yes.
Because it's not awful enough.
Right.
That's funny. That's really funny. Oh, that's adorable. That's a little cute. That's
yeah.
Aww.
So anyway. I'm enjoying looking at these comments. And yeah. I think that they seem very helpful rating on like the endings and the amount of blood that there is. So you know.
And I don't know if you guys have ever seen this, but I was James Gunn just put up a list of his top 50 horror films. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about doing a thing where we just have like a day and we just everybody brings the movie that scared the crap out of them the most. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was funny because James Gunn, the second movie he put up there was a movie called Audition.
Oh!
Oh my God! It's Japanese,
yes,
I believe.
Yes, I think it's Japanese.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is the most terrifying thing mm-hmm. I've ever seen because it could be real.
Yeah.
It's the kind of thing that, like, somebody could be fucked up enough to do this. And it's so, oh my God. Years later, it still messes with me.
Oh,
Matt made me watch it. I think it's from like 94. It's like really old. But yeah, Matt made me watch it. And it just, scared the crap out of me.
Oh,
but it's
no.
So good.
Well, that reminds me that last week mm-hmm. I did go to the Hollywood studio tour.
Yes.
WB Halloween, their Halloween tour, Fright
yes.
Fest. And you should, it's open for the public now, right?
So yeah, Horror Made Here is what it's called.
Yeah,
right?
Horror Made Here, that's what it's called. It's called Horror Made Here. It's open to the public in the, at like 6 p.m., I think. It's like in the evenings.
Yeah.
Like 6
so it's
10.
Like their WB studio tour, because you can go and see the studio, except that they've made it a horror movie.
Yeah, and it's really, like, I shouldn't say cute, because it's Halloween, but like the studio tour part of it is, it's really fun, because they have real vampires, obviously.
Real.
And
yes.
Real. 100% real. And witches, and, you know, demons that are like, along the path in the studio tour, and like they'll point out, like, you know, what if certain horror movies literally were made there or not.
Oh, that's cool.
Right? Yeah. And it's funny because the haunted houses that I did, it would have, if I had seen any of these horror films, it would have affected me more probably. Because I was like, oh shit, I haven't seen Annabelle. I haven't seen either version of It.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But
I saw the original.
They have a VR, they have like a VR bus for It, and just like a virtual reality experience.
Uh huh.
where you get to hang out with Pennywise. And it was fucking, it was terrifying. I actually was very scared during it.
I'm really glad because, I didn't go now. Because
I'm not like, sure I'm going to take it. Even though it's VR, like, and I know, and it was funny because, like, I would just close, instead of screaming, because, like, I wanted to scream lots of times, I just close my eyes because then you can't see it, and then I know it's VR. But if you keep your eyes open, it's really scary. But then you can reward yourself because all of their food trucks were amazing. Like, yeah, I'm doing my diet. I'm being very strict with my diet, but I had
you cheated a little bit.
I cheated a little bit that day because I was like, I had to go to the food trucks. They had these ice cream cookie sandwiches that were so delicious. It was like and there was like spirits were trying to stop me from eating too much because like after a couple bites, like my spoon broke, and then I was trying to eat it even with the broken spoon, and then like I was like hiding alone in an alleyway, and then someone like came around and I was like scared me, so then I dropped it myself, and I was like, okay, the spirits have told me to stop. I'm gonna stop now. But yeah, so it was actually a lot of fun, and I was cautious about it because I don't like haunted houses that much.
Yeah,
like, you know. I don't enjoy being scared. Yeah. But it was a fun kind of scared. So
I did Not Scary Farm twice. Once when I was like 16, and that was fine because all of my friends were so much more scared and forcing me into the front, which then means everybody goes to them because they do. They watch that. Yeah. They watch for the person that's going in the middle. Uh-huh. I wanted to be that person, but everybody else was so scared that I did not end up being that person. But then I went again when I was 22. Mm-hmm. And I was that person. So I then just went to, like, the carnival part of Knott's. And that's the part they don't have any scary stuff. And I just sat there for the rest of the night. And was like, nope, done. Can't do it. So I may be okay with the fact that I didn't go to this thing. But, yeah, I think that's a new one, right? I don't think they've done it before, have they?
No, I don't think they have. I think that they have some, like, they had done the It House elsewhere.
Yes, they did that in Hollywood.
Yeah, when but it came out. As this whole tour, I think this is the first time.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. We have so many of those in LA, but like people love them. I know I have a friend who he's from LA. Well, he's from the Valley, and he now lives in Nashville because he's getting his PhD. Mm-hmm. And he flies back. Like he was just here, and for a week they go to something every single night.
That
they go
is all crazy
because he's crazy. Yeah, he likes doing these.
That is really cool.
So yeah, I told him about the Horror Meteor. Maybe he'll go next time.
We went to Gettysburg in college. Halloween.
Oh really?
Oh really? Do they do something?
Yeah. Oh yeah. They do ghost stuff, and it is really freaking creepy because
that's
Gettysburg,
fun.
Which is super haunted.
Oh, that's cool.
And we weren't that far from like the school that I was at wasn't that far from Gettysburg, so we did that. And I'm a baby. I don't know how I myself into doing it. I was like, I have a very low like. I was like, I'll get into it. You know, like I'll get into the whole thing.
I like being told, like, ghost stories, and I think that's why I liked, like, Dracula. It's a little slow, but I liked that because it's just gothic horror, and it's not, like, it's not jump scares. Mm-hmm. I don't like the jump scares
Or
gore.
And it bugs me, too, because it's, like, it scares you because it's so sudden, but you also know that it's cheap, you know?
Yes.
Like, you know that you're being manipulated to be afraid, so.
The Woman in Black, the one with Daniel Radcliffe, that was actually really good because it's gothic horror. And there are jump scares and you know they're going to happen, but it works because it's a ghost story. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that's bothered me because what made me think about it, the Gettysburg thing, the history. I've done some tours but they're city tours, they're not really for Halloween, where it was more done as a historical thing. So it's still creepy because you're learning about creepy things that people did or believe that are happening, whatever. Like, I did two in New Orleans and I did one, the Jack the Ripper tour. But they were good because they were more done from the historical perspective. And they're just freaking you out because it's like, this is a real thing that actually happened. And I think I appreciate that
more. Yeah. Yeah.
So either the gothic horror with monsters and it's just creepy, or tell me history and that'll freak me out because people are messed up.
Yeah, like, in Gettysburg, they would just tell all the stories.
That's
like, the haunted stories that have collected there over the years. But then, and they're telling you a fair amount of the history, too, but when you're walking on, like, a battlefield like that.
Yeah, I mean, like, New Orleans, the one of them we did, the guy was talking about, because there was a woman who, and she, they had a character based on her in American Horror Story Coven. Or, actually, I think it was her. Mm-hmm. And, she literally was experimenting on her slaves.
That's horrible.
It's awful.
That's,
I think, way scarier than, like, Saw kind of thing.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Just knowing, like, the actual depravity of human nature.
Yes, because people are fucked up.
That's actually what the Werewolf Boy is about a little bit.
Yeah.
It's
Oh, really?
It's a Korean movie. It's not a K-drama.
Totally different.
I'm checking my brain for anything because I am such a baby, I don't watch horror.
Yeah.
But in The Werewolf Boy, like, he's never, like, character designed like a werewolf because Song Joong-ki is too pretty and they don't want to, like, de-prettify him.
Obviously.
Of course.
But it's the idea that he's, like, this... They never really go in, I think, explain exactly what... But that they were, like, experimenting on, like, orphan kids or whatever and, like, trying to crossbreed them with, like, wolves or animals to create these, like, super soldiers or whatever.
Interesting.
And then he gets left behind somehow or something, and then Park Bo-young finds him.
Park Bo-young! Okay, well, then now I'm going to watch it. Now, where do I find Werewolf Boy?
Werewolf Boy.
Yeah.
Werewolf Boy is on Netflix. It's not scary at all.
Okay.
But werewolf in the title, so that makes it Halloween.
There you go. It does. Doesn't have to be scary.
Yeah, exactly. It's trick or treat. Sometimes you get treats.
Yes. Okay, so...
It's a good, bittersweet movie. Like, it's
cool. My last thing I want to recommend, and this is also on Netflix, is Dead Set, which was a series that was done in the UK several years ago. And it is set around... We had Big Brother here, but it was never the phenomenon that it is in the UK. And really? In fact, I don't know if it's still on or not anymore, but it was huge in the UK. Oh. Like, they had Celebrity Big Brother. That's how big it was.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
So, they do Big Brother, basically, the night, it's like one of the voting nights. Something happens. Mm-hmm. Zombie apocalypse in the UK. The Big Brother house is the only safe place.
Ah!
And they don't know. Uh-huh. Like, stuff's happening around them to the people who are in the building working the show, but the Big Brother house is so locked down, they have no idea it's happening at first.
That's awesome.
And then it starts to happen.
Yeah.
And it's fun. I think Simon Pegg said the only problem with it is that the zombies run. And zombies shouldn't run.
but like, if zombies don't run, then how are they really a threat? Like, that's why I always wonder, like, when the zombies are just, like, lumbering. I'm just like, how are the zombies defeating
it's
you?
It's crowds.
Yeah.
There's too many of them. They come for everyone. That's the problem. But yeah, no, it's really, really good. It's so much fun. I think it's 8 episodes, but it's on Netflix now. And it's definitely, I would recommend it. It's really hilarious. They even got like some of the old Big Brother contestants because they're there for like the voting night. And the host, Dina McCall, I think that's her name. I'm gonna get it wrong. Anyway, she was on it. They actually got the host of Big Brother to be the host. And,
wow, that actually sounds like fun.
Yeah, it's super fun. It's a
and
really
how many?
Good
how long was it?
I think it was 8 episodes.
8 episodes.
I think.
So it's just like a one series.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. I'm down.
One
with
and
that.
Done. It's really really fun.
Even though it's not the same thing that randomly at all. It all the same thing. I think it's just because it's a short number of episodes. It reminds me of Harper's Island.
Matt loves that show, and we watched it twice.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that show.
That was really fun too, actually. That's also on Netflix, because that's how we watched it.
Yeah, so like, if you like, you know, anthology type slashery horror stories.
Yeah, there's two quick fun horror stories. I mean, you do have some time you have to give to them, but not tons.
Right.
So, anyway, I think with that, we're going to leave you. So, as always, you can find us more news, reviews, etc. on withanaccent.com and follow us on our social media accounts at withanaccent or the podcast at pop a la carte pod. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be back next week. Bye.
Bye.